Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good evening, everybody, and good morning, everybody, and good afternoon, everybody, depending on where you are on this beautiful green planet of ours. This is 99.7% of JP talking. The rest is somewhere on the axe block. But it's all right. I'll survive. Oh, big drama. Yeah. Anyway, so stop being such a crybaby, JP, and get on with your show. Tonight, I have a very special guest, the ever delightful, the evolution, the evermore. Eva, how are you? Are you there?
I am. I'm outside, so let me know if you can hear me okay. Otherwise, it would have been too loud inside, I think. So it might be a wind factor.
Yep, that's good. I'm going to have to mute my mic when you're talking so that you don't get any echoes. But otherwise, everything's fine. So, Eva, we've been so well. I personally have been very worried. I'm sure lots of our listeners have been worried about you in the last few weeks. You know, stuck in the woods, and with all these weird people around you. So things have settled down for you, yeah?
Yeah, I have to admit, it's quite surreal. I probably, on a repeated basis, every day said, how did I get here? It is, it's very strange. But at the same time, that's only when you're in, or when I'm in a logical, analytical mindset. It's totally different when I'm coming from a heart-based resonance. So when I go to my heart, it makes sense. And I had a conversation with a good friend of mine in Canada yesterday, and he said, Eva, you know, it's never really been about Bill. It is on certain levels, but really it's about the bigger holographic picture, and that's what you jumped on, and that's what you saw, was the fact that Bill embodies so many different strands of consciousness all braided into one person, and at the same time, his capacity to come forward and own the totality of being a human being in the now, you know, and what that means in both, you know, dualities and collapse it and just be, you know, ready to move forward and make a difference and look for solution. Those are the characteristics that really caused me to leap and jump and risk, you know, everything. And I've played the big game. Everything I am and all that I be is on the table right now. It's been way, way more than I bargained for. And yet when, you know, I have my moments where I think, geez, it would be nice to just be back to being a house mom and whatever. And when I really stop and think about it, it would be good for maybe 2 weeks, and then I'd be like, okay, this is really boring and not really purposeful. So what can I do now? You know, so I don't know if that makes any sense to you. JP, does it make sense when I say it like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get you. I mean, you've definitely fast-tracked onto a very high-pressure lifestyle that is almost like a military kind of lifestyle where you're forced reading, you're forcing yourself to read all the stuff about law, you're forcing yourself to read all the stuff about the you know, loads of different fields of beingness. You know, all the different fields of, you know, so you're really kind of taking a vast sort of involuntary education. And I really honor you and admire you for that.
Thank you. you know, one of the things that I think is really important to mention, and I lose track of it from time to time, but one of the things that I loved about holodynamics is it uses as its principle the implicate order, which is the Mandelbrot or the fractal perspective, the golden mean spiral. So, you know, what's known is known to the whole, or, you know, if you had a holograph and you broke it into pieces, into fractals, you'd see the same pattern throughout. And one of the premises that Vern uses is that there's no significance then, and there's no insignificance, because it's all the same, it's just on a different scale. And we've been conditioned as a society to think that what's happening internally for us isn't happening externally and vice versa, and to look at the big problems of the world and get despondent and think that we can't make a difference and we don't have a place in trying, or that it's too big of a problem, you know, and that's really the conditioning that they want us to stay in. And that's one of the things I loved about holodynamics, is that it put it into perspective. Because if you do believe in the implicate order and the golden mean spiral and the Fibonacci sequence and the Mandelbrot patterning, then you know it's the same thing. And then it's like, okay, well, what would make the most content in my perspective is getting behind somebody that has all these different threads, you know, the military industrial complex, the interaction with off planet, you know, the SEAL team members, the patterning of the transgressions that are encouraged and then used against, the, you know, control power, over oil, and the creation of the term, you know, infidel or insurgent. You know, that's really what Bill, one of the most remarkable things that Bill came forward to say is that, you know, I can prove we were creating the word insurgent. We were over there destroying everything to leave people as little as hope as possible, so that they become desperate and dynamically charged in a way that, you know, trauma creates. So,
wow, hang on. So many things you said there. But I just wanted to bring back what you just said about insurgents. Because that was a word that I'd never heard, you know. And it was like, oh, that sounds like a really, you know, it sounds like it's supposed to sound like a group of really bad people, you know. You know, it's just another word. But what you're saying it is it was a team of agents provocateurs. Who were acting in a rogue fashion. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and you know, it's not just Bill saying this about the SEALs. If you guys have read Michael Jacko's book, inadvertently he kind of confirms that the SEAL teams are sent out. I guess Bill said their team was called Ghost Walkers. I'm not sure if they're all called that, if that's just his team. But they're sent out initially, long before any, you know, known troops are dispatched on soil. The SEALs have already been there. And Michael Jacko confirms that in his book, who was a member of the original SEAL Team 6, organized training group. I guess they rotate, and he's gone through many of them. But, yeah. So, next to that, the idea that, you know, that's what Bill stood up against. That's what Bill is being punished for, is the fact that he, you know, became a conscientious objector in 98, way before social media was behind people doing such a thing, like Bradley Manning and Ethan McCord and all of these people and our lives, our rights. he also brought in that original interview with Kerry the information that drones are not just used for surveillance. They are, that surveillance is like the last thing they're used for. And, you know, one of the things United States really, from my perspective, gets their head around is that anything divide and conquer, like Democrat, right, left, you know, all this stuff, is just to keep you busy from what they're really doing. Much like the Tutsis and the what's the other group in Africa, you know, where they divide the people so that they can't get past each other to rally and overcome the government, you know. And meanwhile, they're pushing these drones in the United States. And it's like, you know, is marijuana more important right now, or is it waking up to the fact that drones are not surveillance? They are not, I mean, sure, they can be used as surveillance, but that's not... But that's not their primary aspect. So, you know, that was the other thing. And he brought that up in that interview with Carrie about an hour and, I don't know, 15 minutes in. And Carrie kind of like, you know, stammered. And she's like, oh, I didn't know drones are not for just surveillance. I mean, you know, Bill confirmed. Yeah, that's something the media wants you to know about. So, I don't know. To me, Bill's incarceration, even though, you know, they can promote it under the guise of, you know, keep the children safe and the sexual predator registry, all of that stuff. I mean, really? Do you think that that registry is really to keep the kids safe when you have popes, you know, and queens and prime ministers and presidents covering homophobically, you know, the transgressions?
Yes, exactly.
Well, and apparently this new pope is a homophobe, that they're talking about might get in. And I don't equate pedophilia with homoerotic or homophobia. I'm just saying that they're tied in that they perpetuate the enigma of homoeroticness or, you know, being gay, pedophilia. And that's just, you know, if you can have a pope run the biggest bank and cover up pedophiles, do you really think that the judicial system is all that concerned about your children? Or do they just want to give you the guise, the illusion that they're doing something so that you have a false sense of security? Most likely, you know.
Again, so, it's distraction, Eva, isn't it? I mean, it's the same game over and over and over again. You know, first of all, divide and rule, which distracts you from the original. You know, left, right, divide. Democrats,
yeah, and I mean,
Republicans, Labour and Conservative, they're all the same club. They're just wearing different ties, and they're in and out of the same beds and same... and this is the thing, there's a lot of stuff that is around initiation practices, ritual practices, where they're forced to do awful things, primarily to children or women, or and then that's all filmed so they can be blackmailed for it, which is how they can control politicians and things like that. And all of that is like, oh, look over there, look at that weird old bloke who's bald and with glasses and probably, you know, just a bit Asperger's, and oh, he's got to be a paedophile around here. You know, oh, jeez, give me a break, ladies and gentlemen. Give me a break.
This is the thing. It's a much deeper issue in that, you know, and this is the scary thing for me. There's some really high advanced level trained men that are working in the SEAL teams, and, you know, for whatever reason, their dogs are so thick that they've, you know, actually kept them from coming forward, perhaps, or perhaps not. I mean, we've seen the murder of Chris Kyle at a gun range here in the last month, who is one of the most, you know, I don't know, famous or renowned killers of the SEAL team. And it's like, okay, what happened there? If he's such a, you know, aware being, and so, you know, well-equipped and adequate, how is it possible that somebody, you know, snuck one up on him? I don't think so. And, you know, before that, a month or two before that, there was a high commander SEAL that was, you know, apparently suicided, which, you know, again, from what I understand, I have a hard time believing. So are the SEALs actually gathering some momentum? Are they starting to rally? Are they starting to, you know, have a bit of a clanking of sabers and ready to make some kind of group effort? Who knows? But, you know, 22 members die in a fictitious storyline that we were told about. And then you get the propaganda and a rollout machine with, you know, the SEAL Team movies and the books that all perpetuate the idea that Osama bin Laden died in, you know, a kill shot rather than in kidney failure.
In 2001, yeah.
You know, so, what's going on? Yeah, what's going on here? And the thing for me is that, from what I understand, is the majority of these men whom, you know, Michael Jacko's book does a great job detailing the fact that these men, as, you know, buff and rowdy as they could be, have been taught to hone in and develop their divine feminine skill sets of intuition and the power of love, which sounds really hokey, right? If you're prepared to hear that, that these SEALs are encouraged to understand their capacity and the power and the resonance of love in the field, you know, and Michael Jacko goes into detail about when he crosses into or out of the green zone, how he would do a heart scan for potential danger, and if he sensed anything in the field, he would send it love. Well, this is amazing that, you know, these men have these skill sets, and their sheer presence has resonance. So, you know, what's really going on behind the scenes? We don't know. I mean, we hear the Queen, and, you know, is in hospital and stomach flu, and, you know, the Pope, oh, he stepped down because of his health, right? Wasn't the massive disclosures that are rolling out about the death, you know, now that not only the First Nation communities and the atrocities covered up in his rise to Pope, but the deaf school boys communities that were also covered up. So, you know, for me, I'm just this house mom following this impetus internal guidance system, and like I said at the beginning of the interview, I really on a regular basis say, what is going on? How did I get here?
Yeah, what is number one, what is going on, and number two, why me? You know, you've got this why me, and I tell you why.
Oh gosh, yeah,
I tell you why. Eva Moore, can I read your raise on live on air?
Of course, absolutely. I'd love that.
Okay, well, your monad is along the line of the first ray of will or power, which means that no matter what, you serve the truth. That it, you know, truth over love, even. And that this is an energy that is it singles you out. Literally, you know, it's one, you know, you are the one that, you know, you have, the initiation and the initiative. Now, here's what's interesting is that your soul ray, normally with the one monads, the soul ray is like ray two, and I've met a few ray sevens, but you have a ray four, which is a warrior or an artist, but more like a warrior. So, you know, a lot of super soldiers that I've met. In fact, Dave asked me to do ray readings on his wolves, and it turns out, you know, most dogs have a six ray soul energy, and his wolves have a fourth ray soul energy. This is the warrior thing. You know, very, very sensitive, very naturally intuitive. You know, you know, people with fourth rays, humans with fourth rays are often, very attractive, stunning, looking, and nobody can deny that you're anything but stunning, Eva.
Thank you.
You're, you know, just like, really? Is that her? Isn't that just not a pose? You know, oh, excellent, excellent. Anyway, meanwhile, now what was your personality, Ray? I think, yes, Ray 7. Yeah, so you have a Ray 7 personality, Ray, which, so this 147, okay, this is divine energy becoming manifest, all right? And so that is very natural for what you're doing, and the way you do it is you make it very grounded. This is the seventh ray. Seventh ray is grounded. It does things on a regular basis because it knows the value of regularity. So if you know you have to go to some place, or you can be relied upon to attend when you say you do. You know, that kind of regularity about things. Which is great.
Very interesting.
Balance against the fourth ray, which is like, you know, if the wind's blowing in the wrong direction, they're not going. You know.
You can feel a disturbance in the force.
Yeah. So you can see, I mean, but, you know, I've known you, and, you know, in the time that you've been doing these radio shows, you're, no matter what is going on, hell or high water, you will make those shows. You know,
for the most part, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. But there are times when you think, oh, screw it, you know. But,
well, I mean, I think that this is a really unique experience. And that's the hardest part, is that you have nothing touchstone-wise to look to and say, you know, how am I doing? Am I measuring up? Is this worthwhile? Is it effective? Or am I spinning wheel, you know, burning out here? Because that's, you know, ultimately, I'm interested in being effective and constantly asking myself, what does effective look like? What does it look like? What does it look like? Well, in the situation I currently find myself in, I mean, the chapters get more and more intense and more interesting. You know, and currently it's the judicial system and looking at the truths of the judicial system, which is that, you know, we don't have it anymore. And the majority of Americans need to know this, not out of anger, but, I mean, however these people who are currently facilitating the system, working within it, however they got there, whether it was because they believe serve a higher purpose of patriotism and truth and justice, and, you know, lo and behold, woke up one day and found out that, you know, the judges are issuing penal bonds before there's even a person arrested or contracted into, you know, they're already issuing the bonds and putting them on the stock market for these penal violations, and now have an obligation to whoever's financially invested in these bonds. So tell me how it's possible that we have an honorable judge who gets to register his trademark name in all caps, Honorable Judge Fancy Pants, all caps, you know, as a corporation, and goes to work in the business category of legislative and judicial courts. Tell me, what is he in the business of? What is he selling? Our right or us and our currency, our current, the energetic frequency that we create as we move through this world, the life force that we contain in our bodies. Well, I think unfortunately it's the latter. And so that means that we've all been horrendously duped, just like, you know, the Pope and the stories of, you know, dogma. We now have the opportunity to peel this onion back and say, okay, wait a minute. How is it you're in business in the courtroom? What is the business of the courtroom? So does that mean that after you trademark register your corporation in all caps, you have to find office space and you lease this room from this building? And that means you have rent for your office? And that means you have overhead? And that means you have to make sure you're running a profit in this. You know, meanwhile, the rest of us don't get told that it's a contract and a bond that gets, you know, we think, you know, and even Bill at the beginning when I met him, he was all about, you know, if we flood the system with the speedy trial, we'll overload the capacities of the jails. And it's like, right, okay, I can see that, how that would work, but what if they want the judge, you know, like, the more contracts they get, the more money, and that's all they care about. It's just the money. It's just the account. It's just the stock market. And this is horrible. This is absolutely horrible that they have made it so complicated that we can't even fathom what the heck they're doing because we're not sociopathic. And much like Kevin Annette was saying in his recent interview with Santos and Quantum News or whatever it was, you know, it's that this, we're not supposed to understand it. And just like the clergy and the Pope don't believe in the dogmas of the religion, they're just there because they know the finances of it. They know the power of it. They know the control of it. That's why they're there, and that's why they're put in place there, because they understand what it's really about, and they're on board. So why wouldn't that fractal pattern apply to the judicial system, you know, where he contracts thugs to go out and drum up business for me? It's a slow day. Go find some business for me, you know, and then I'll hire a PR marketing firm to print my, you know, latest case in a propaganda format that makes it sound like I'm keeping the people safe. Meanwhile, I'm, you know, I'm in business to sell their rights in my courtroom for the highest stock market price.
And so, in order to solve this, we need somebody who can bridge heaven and earth and bring some very strong spiritual energy into the courtroom. Did you know that? That you're there just to be there and to bring the energy that is coming through from your monad? Just to be in the courtroom is enough.
Well, I sat there as an observer this whole year and completely relinquished my direction, because Bill was very sure he had this direction he needed to follow. And I, you know, didn't want to interfere with his free will. And I said, okay, you know, go for it. I'm here. I'm here supporting you. And, you know, the day came when, lo and behold, his oath and the judicial process failed him blatantly. And, you know, excuse my language, but bitch slapped him on his way back, you know, at the door. See ya. Thanks for playing, sucka. You know, it's like, oh wow, that was blatant. And so, I don't. It's just an interesting observing position for me to be in. And thank you for sharing that, JP, because you know, I don't know. I mean, I even started out 6 months ago even before I met Bill, trying to figure out the judicial process and the bonding and the birth certificates and the Freeman and the all caps and the blah, 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 blah. I think I have an okay handle on it now, and I don't know if I'm, when I explain it, does it make sense?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is something that I was made aware of a couple of years ago by one of my first ever guests on my radio show. And he told us all about this thing we have in Britain about the TV license, and then about the straw man, meet your straw man, and all that stuff. And every week he came on, he like peeled away a layer of lies and misinformation and just being able to step outside of the cocoon, the papier-mâché cocoon that is the propaganda that is wrapped around our lives. And that's being able to reveal the truth as it is. And that's what that one is there about, Eva. It's like no matter how deep they may bury someone with a first ray monad, this person will come to the surface and tell everybody about it. So these people are placed all over the world in various groups, and that's what pulls them out. It's like the flower knows that the sun, the seed knows where the sun is.
So here's my question. What does compassion look like for the transformation process, and how do we get out of the duality? I mean, potentially there is a court system here in a very, you know, I've heard the term podunked used to describe Boethi. Sorry, it's loud. Hold on.
That's okay. Boethi, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, Well, I've heard that term used, but I what I've, and prudent is another one. I would say that everybody's very conditioned here to be good and be nice and don't question and do what you're supposed to do. That's what you do here in Boise. So I'm not sure what they think of Bill and I, and I'm not sure how they're going to react to Bill and I. But, you know, I don't wish anyone... it's hard, right? Because when you know people potentially are in a position where they're aware of the, and they're aware that this whole system is a human trafficking, basically, you know, for me, I have all my personal feelings about the situation because, you know, I'm in love with the man, and I feel that this is very sad, that humanity does this under such confusion. But how do we get into solution, and what does that look like for, say, the judge involved in Bill's case? What kind of transformation is possible for a man who potentially is aware of the profiteering going on in the background? And how, you know, as a collective society, I'm just one person here in this town. You know, I don't really know many people, so I'm kind of like, you know, at times I feel like the sitting duck, like, okay, here I go, telling the truth, la la la.
That's right, you're the one. You're the one, Eva. You're the one in the situation. Whoever's the one in the situation, who's carrying the first ray, who has the will to know the truth, and to and the courage to speak it. Okay, you've got that will, right? that's your God-given monadic energy, and it's like, you know, you could walk around all the time with a sword, and all sorts of things may happen around you, but it's your choice whether you to pull it out and start using it. You know.
I'm not interested in war.
I'm not talking about war. Yeah, but what I'm talking about is the will aspect. Okay, so it could use, you know, it could use weaponry, right, to achieve its ends. But here's let's have a look at your package again and use and look at your energies, right? So you've got this will energy, which is, you know, you're divinely upset, let's say, divinely upset with the system as it is. It's entrenched, it's corrupt, it's downright evil. You know, it's a slave trade, entity.
Profiteering,
you know, all that, exploitative, you know, it's all of those bad things, all the worst aspects of humanity. And this is not, you know, it's not something that is confined to the planet, it appears, you know, according to Andrew and the explorations we've been going through the Akashic Records with him, is that there is a kind of intergalactic mafia, you know. So it's like there is a kind of tradition for it, but it can be nipped here. And so let's, looking at your energies, you have the fourth ray in the soul, right? What is the fourth ray? The fourth ray is the ray they call harmony through conflict. I'm often talking about it in terms of artists, but it can also be the warrior. And there's like the, you know, the problem, there's a difference between a warrior and a soldier. Do you see what I mean?
And this is the thing, I kind of, that's why I keep looking around going, what happened? Where am I? Because it's so intense. And yeah, I feel very much guided. And I do feel that impetus continuously pushing me towards truth. Truth. Don't be afraid. It's just the truth. Well, you know, for a society that has been conditioned to think that judicial magistrates are prestigious and honorable, and they themselves have been conditioned to a certain level of feeling superior, what is this truth going to, how is it received, you know, and what recourse, and what, where does the laws of the universe and free will meet in this certain circumstance? And, you know, to be continued, we don't know. We're about to find out, I think.
Okay.
So this is a very timely interview.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. Your energies, as I say, are, have this first ray of will, fourth ray of harmony through conflict, and then the seventh ray of order, of ceremonial order, but of order. And, you know, on the light, on the dark side, it's the new world order. But on the light side, there is a new order. You know, there is a new light order. And it's right relationship, it's sovereignty, it's all of these things that we're studying and everything that we want. You know, that's why we're here, because we want that stuff. And it's our desire and intent that brings that into manifestation. And so, this is the essence of your task, Eva. It's not necessarily to go in there fighting, because it's not in your nature. You know, this isn't a movie. You know, it's not like suddenly you become, you know, a super pumped up heroine who kicks ass. You know, you can still be the natural feminine that you are, and it would be good to, for you to, you know, remain that, because that's part of what is going to make the difference.
Interesting. I was watching Kuan Yin Thousand Hand Dance this morning, actually just before you and I connected, and I started to cry because of the grace of Kuan Yin, who is the goddess of love and compassion, and it just resonates with me, like, just stay in grace, stay in grace, stay in grace, stay in compassion, stay in love. And it's, you know, at times, I asked Bill yesterday for his forgiveness, because at times I get really, you know, almost cagey and feeling alone. And it's been a year of that. And so I get worn down, right? And I'm probably strong in some ways than I was at the beginning of the year, and kind of worn down a bit than I was at the beginning of the year. So,
yeah, I mean, I can, you know, this is the thing, Eva, that we're all watching. That's, you know, you're not doing this kind of completely alone. There is a network of people who are watching, and people who are also, who also have a degree of, access to the morphogenic field. Let's put it that way. It's not just, you're not just talking to a bunch of people who are just listening. Everybody who listens to this is connected through their friends and their networks. And they in turn have their connections. And so there is a download capability, like a huge, huge torrent network. That the ideas like that you might have, Eva, your emanation of Kuan Yin.
In being in a cabin for the last year, kind of sequestered up in the mountains with not a lot of interaction with any kind of civilian. Andrew actually laughed the first day I was like in town. He called us in the morning, and this girl walks by, and I'm like, oh my God, I love your yoga pants. And he's like, oh, look at you, Eva, socializing. And I was like, shut up. I've been stuck in a mountain with tree dog the last year, talking to the trees and like going barefoot and chopping wood. Wow, people. I know you wanted to talk about Bill and some of the kind of funky, cool stuff. And, you know, I'd love to, if you can help me find it. It's interesting because Bill, you know, did have interactions in Area 51 with a gray, and it was part of his training. And I think that Sorry, it's going to get loud here for a second. One of the things he's told me, when he was in jail, I came across the Matilda McElvoy story.
Oh, yes.
And it basically... Yeah, the accounting of a nurse who was involved in the Roswell crash, who actually was identified or selected by the surviving alien, or a gray, or whatever you want to say. That I know Bill hates the word alien. He thinks it's very rude.
I prefer ET or, you know, or galactic or something, you know. Alien, yeah. is like an insult. It's like the N-word. It's the A-word, you know?
yeah. And I'm sorry, because I just, you know, I'm not there yet. I'm still learning all of this. And
that's all right.
So he said, okay, so in the story, Matilda McElvoy, she ended up having, because of her rank, and because of the, openness of this gray to her, because she was the only feminine female figure in the group, being appointed kind of a counselor or, you know, communications person to sit on a regular basis and interact with this gray. And what happened in their circumstance is that the alien or gray actually learnt English, and telepathy-wise could communicate in English on a telepathic level to Matilda McElvoy. Now, in Bill's circumstance, he feels that the gray he interacted with was a slave, was a hostage, and was forced to comply in these training modalities against its will. And that he did not have English as the foundation of telepathy. It in the raw format of telepathy, which is probably impetus or intuition rather than a language or specifics. And so he was given, in his training, the basic, you know, interactions that the gray was supposed to teach him. And the purpose of this was to, you know, of the chosen few, give these techniques as a reminder of what humanity is capable of, but has never been nurtured. And so by demonstrating that it's possible, therefore it's now something you're able to do. And because these grays are so much more adept or skilled, or, you know, their skill sets are honed in and they're much more, you know, adequate at the process, they're used then to train these men. And what happens, and this is Bill's best understanding, is that there was the basic training module that was given to him, but then buried carrier wave of packets of larger information, much more than he was supposed to have shared with Bill. And I think it took time for this information to gestate and open and make sense in Bill's psyche, for him to get what was being given to him. And again, after Bill read, I bought him the Matilda McElvoy book and I sent it to him in jail, because it read so much like what Bill had already told me at the beginning of, you know, 2012. And I was like, oh my God, there's someone else saying the exact same thing. And I sent it to him and he said, yeah, like, this is the closest thing I've seen to, you know, the truth. And one of the things Bill's been saying over and over and over again is, you know, if humans only understood that we have no real understanding of what the term alien is, that we've completely misguided in our perceptions of what an alien is. You know, we have these ideas of like them versus us, and that he says that the movie Avatar is much more accurate to our human experience on Earth, and that we're just kind of anchored in the suit for the experience, and that
The other thing he'll say is that the majority of third-dimensional bodies that are, you know, natural occurrences on each planet, I guess there's a built-in safety factor to ensure that the majority of these 3D Earth suits or whatever planet suits don't get off the planet, and that they're important to be contained on the planet because, in his words, 3D Earth suits have a way of causing havoc in the galaxy.
Yeah, the ETs, they call them the containers. The greys are supposed to, they look after the containers, which is like these bodies. So what was interesting, the Matilda tape, I read about a year ago, or it was a YouTube that actually reads out, one of those machine voice reading out things. It was a guy reading it out. So I'm aware of the text of it and, there's some fascinating data points in that. But particularly the thing that keeps coming back is that the greys look after the containers, and John Lear has been saying this, that they look after, you know, that's why we see greys when we die and things like that, is because, you know, they're looking after the containers for the soul, and that's the thing. It's the soul indwelling in the body. That's the important thing. And the greys have got the ability to transfer souls. That's why the governments are so interested in them, because if you can transfer a soul, then you can grow a new body, pop the soul in, and voila. And apparently,
right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
The other thing he always talks about is that Earth was supposed to be almost like a wildlife preserve, and that we were supposed to have been left to develop in our consciousness, and that inadvertently, you know, this was corrupted. And because he says Earth is on like the very far corner of the interdimensional four-lane highway, we kind of got, not forgotten about, but not those that are in a higher level of management didn't know what was going on here, and that it's been perverted. The you know, wildlife preserve is perverted, and that humans are very interesting, like the bodies are a very interesting suit because of its capacity to jump dimensionally, and that's not something that they've been able, because of the double combination, there's some combination. And he is like very, this is the thing that is hard with Bill. A lot of his knowing, it's hard for him to translate into English. And unless he feels, and I don't know if this is the programming that they've given him, but it's like pulling teeth. And there's so much else going on that getting to the good stuff, like these types of conversations, is really, because he doesn't give. You kind of have to pry it out of him. And then he'll kind of like have this reaction of like, no, you don't understand. And it's like, okay, I don't understand. So explain it. You know, use your words and tell me. But, and I don't mean to placate him or condescend him, but it is, there's this barrier in his emotional, intellectual, maybe like a failsafe or something they put in that makes it very difficult for him to translate into English in a conversation what he wants to explain. And he gets very like emotional when he tries to talk about it. And I don't know if this is part of the programming, because I know, I mean, I've seen it with William Stillings when he talks about certain things, you know, they just get triggered and it's like this emotional reaction, and then it's almost a shutdown.
Yeah, I was just about to say, that's what I experienced when I talked to Will. That, you know, we have ways of it's just not the way to be, you know, as long as everybody's in the heart.
Oh yeah, I said before that it's easy to get that information when he's like doing the dishes or vacuuming something, when he's like, like focused on something, not what actually the conversation is, and I can kind of go through the side door and say, oh yeah, tell me about it. And he'll be like, oh wow, what? Blah, 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 blah. And then he'll like catch himself and be like,
jeez, you need to have a, like a, you need a tape recorder.
You're tricky girl, you know.
You need to just have your iPhone on all the time and like set it to record.
Well, I did. I have hours of recordings of Bill talking about all kinds of things, including, you know, his internal process of breaking down the mind control and the barriers of his remembering, you know, what they did to him in the last 6 months of his incarceration. I think, you know, is more accurately, and I mean, Carrie asked him, yeah, is it mind control? And he said, well, I don't know that he understood the broader definition, in that, you know, when it happens to you and you're so traumatized, you don't necessarily out there seeking, you know, unless you've done a lot of healing work where you're at a place where you want to process more. You know, and he didn't really start to remember a lot of things till he was 35, and he's 40 now, so it's been the last 5 years. And you can imagine that those people closest to him, you know, he goes on for 14 years, or, you know, 10 years in one direction, never talking about stuff, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, the hormones shift in the brain and the memories start flooding back, and it's like, huh? What are you talking about all of a sudden? And for him, you know, I have so much compassion for him, because I can only imagine the uphill momentum he had, inertia, you know, that he had to overcome to just keep talking about it. And, you know, there must be a spark inside of him that helps him overcome a lot of the nay, you know, that he encountered initially when he first started telling people, you know, this is what happened, this is what I did, and this is why, and this is where what I belong to, and this is what we were doing, and this is what I objected to, and then they did this, and, you know, it's a lot, and I really think there's probably many men and women out there like Bill who've worked in the military-industrial complex that need that kind of support. And if I can provide anything, is to say, you know, I'm just a house mom who wants to get behind humanity's movement forward. And, you know, this isn't lame. It's not about being right. It's about solution and progress for the collective. And I'm not interested in making somebody wrong and bad. I'm interested in getting over it and moving on, you know, forward. And that's why I come back to this judge, you know, in his specific situation, because what a predicament. You know, this man has, you know, so much potential at his fingertips to transform. And what does that look like?
We're going to talk about this more, Ms. Moore. Because, you know, it is an energetic process, as you're aware. And, that's my favorite subject. And I think, right, here's the thing. All right, here's the thing. When Bill first started coming out, he had this thing. There's this thing that he never spoke about, but like he was implying that there was this thing, right? And I believe that it's to do with the expression of the feminine spirit in spontaneity. Are you aware of what I'm talking about, Eva? Are you still there? Okay, well, there we go. We will leave it at that and see where we go. Thank you very much for being part of this conversation, brothers and sisters. It was a good one. I hope you enjoyed it. Good night.